I'm Alex.
I'm Lucas.
And I'm Rob.
And this is Relevant Shit. And we're back to our regular scheduled programming. We got Rob. And we're a week late. We're a week behind. Sorry, guys. Summer's been busy for all of us.
We were just talking about how adulting sucks and owning a home is the never-ending task.
But who cares about that? Because you got relevant shit.
That's right.
Also, our house has had nothing to do. I turned 30 last week and we were all out drinking and didn't get around to this.
Nice. Yeah.
Sitting here with two old farts.
We're old now, so yeah.
That's relevant.
Are we all 30 now? No, Lucas is 29.
Oh, you're going to be 30 in September. Months,
yeah. You're not an adult yet. You're not a man like us.
I'm not a man.
It's terrible.
Oh, man.
One day.
So how's your weeks going, other than that?
It's going good.
Busy but good, yeah.
Busy but good?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You want to expand on what was the word you used? Expound?
Expound?
Expound, expound on it? That? Is that like expand from the south?
It is a word. I looked it up. I didn't think it was a real word. I thought Rob like made it up, but it's a real word.
Expound?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. As I like to tell people, I'm smarter than I look. Most people would agree.
I thought you looked better than your smarts.
Oh, you're too kind. Too kind. Well, I have a nice light topic to start off with.
Okay.
Does anybody know the original traces of the 420 pot holiday?
I do.
Okay, what's yours? I've heard a bunch of different ones.
The way I've heard is there's a California school that got out at 4 or something like that, and they would say meet at 420 to smoke, and then it became 420, like, 420 nay, 420, you know.
420 nay nay.
Is that right?
A very short and simplified version, but yes, that exists.
Nailed it.
Good job. No, I just found
I know
this
a lot
article.
Of useless information.
but the more detailed is that couple of kids, whatever, they all got together and they were looking for a pot field that they heard rumor was in like a nearby farm. And so they got out of football practice, or two of the guys got out of football practice at 4, and they would all say meet at 4:20 at by the wall, because their original name was the Waldos.
The Waldos.
Because they would always go and get high by the wall, and the Waldos was a nickname on
this
like,
high school was known for the cute little names that would make up
But so at 4:20, they would go to look for this pot field, and they would chief in the car on the way out there all the time. And then eventually they stopped looking for the pot field, and they would just get high. And
for our non-pot listeners, chief is to partake in smoking marijuana.
Oh, that's great. Come on, Rob. Expand yourself.
I just thought that was, I think I've heard it, but I saw like the actual detailed article about it that just explained how in-depth and how it became.
What did that article have to do? Just a little story?
Yeah.
That's
where they think the origination. I remember when I first started a party back in the day, there was somebody that told me the story of 420 came from. There was a bust, a DEA or FBI bust onto a drug house that was at 420. Like, that was the address, and they busted them at 4:20 in the morning, and they found 420 pounds of pot.
Wow. Like,
that's why it was all this ironic 4:20 stuff, and for the longest time, I had no other reason to think otherwise.
To dispute
but
it, you know.
That was just what I always thought, and I knew it was some
I know
bullshit
I've heard
myth.
Ties with, like, Hitler, too, because his birthday was
oh, yeah, his
birthday
was 4:20, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I bet he smoked a lot of weed.
Oh, I'm sure.
That's why he was so pissed off.
Well, speaking of marijuana, I've got an article here, and this is about a Jamaican lottery winner.
Mm, those are the best.
That has actually nothing to do with pot, other than it happened in Jamaica.
Nobody said that. What are you trying to imply, Alex?
Yeah, huh?
Jamaicans like the ganj, man. Isn't that... No, Rastafarians. Is that them?
Yeah.
Is Jamaicans Rastafarian? Yeah. Yeah, so that's part of their religion, I think. I don't know. I'd have to
pretty
go back
much.
To my world religions class. Well, here's the article. Lottery winner wears winking emoji mask to conceal identity while collecting prize. The woman, who plans to clear her debt, disguised herself as a precaution against reportedly rampant crime in Jamaica. So this is by Ajay Nair. I don't know if I'm saying that right. He's a news reporter for Sky News, which I wasn't
news.
Sure if Sky News was legit, so I looked them up. They are a legitimate UK news article that leans to the left.
Oh, okay.
Are they attached to Skynet?
This article's from...
Is it sky.net?
No, it's just news, sky.news.com or something like that.
There's a lot of dots.
A lot of dots in there, yeah.
Yeah. Terrible domain.
But they get the job done. And this is from yesterday, midday. A Jamaican lottery winner could not stop smiling and winking as she bagged just over 180 million Jamaican dollars.
Shit. How much is that? Like $10,000?
Close. It's 1.3 million USD.
I'd be winking too.
Yeah. So not bad. 1.3 mil in our currency in the States. 1 mil pounds if you're British, like our UK friends from Sky News. Her name, known only as N. Gray, the woman wore an eye-catching...
N. Gray. No longer N. Gray.
The woman wore an eye-catching winking face emoji mask as she collected the 180 and 900,000 Jamaican dollar prize in the Supreme Ventures Super Lotto draw.
I wonder what the
I'm going to pass around a lovely photo of our winking emoji face.
That's awesome.
I thought it was great.
That's funny. I just watched the emoji movie this morning.
There you go. She's your star. Oh, I guess the poop emoji would have been.
So I'm assuming they make you take a picture?
Yes.
Okay. That's pretty clever then.
Well, in the U.S. too, and this is kind of why I brought it up. I thought it was interesting because in the U.S. you have to reveal your identity. Mm-hmm. So they still kind of do that, but I guess because crime, they allow you to kind of hide it at the same time.
That's idiotic. Why not just if you don't want to do it, then don't do it.
Well, because they still want the publicity, so people still buy the lotto.
Oh, gotcha.
And stuff.
You got to see that people win.
That makes sense.
According to the Jamaica Star, she had used the disguise in response to rampant crime in the country. Simone Clark Cooper, the lottery organizer's assistant vice president of group corporate communications. Fuck, that's a title. The lottery organizer's assistant VP.
The lottery group. Man.
Simone.
Lottery mon.
Simone told the newspaper that previous winners have resorted to disguises to protect themselves. Unfortunately, Jamaica is not like other markets, she said. So Simone's a female.
Sure.
She's a woman. In other markets, they don't necessarily do it. But here, I think they opt to do it to keep themselves safe. We're not going to tell them not to do it because their safety is of paramount importance to us as well. She added, people have been coming with their own disguises. They usually don't need our help and they are usually very creative, perhaps beyond anything that we could think of in our imagination. And it has been very effective over the years.
Hold on, is that like the main characteristic of all the lottery winners?
That they're clever. Well, I guess if I won like a mil, I'd probably be pretty clever that morning too. Yeah. Like, fuck it, I'm going to go in with a fucking
Yeah, what are they
going to
do? I got a million or 10 million Jamaican dollars.
180 million Jamaican. It's a lot of ganj, man. 420 blazer.
I gotta go back to that. I bet she doesn't even smoke. She's a nice lady.
She might. What does that mean? I know a lot of nice potheads. Many on Twitter expressed their joy at the photos, which were retweeted and liked by thousands of users.
And then somebody figured out who she was and posted.
Yeah, they couldn't figure out Forrest's gold from last week, but they could figure out N. Gray's location. Well, I wonder what's the population of Jamaica. It's like a small place.
I don't know. We'll do a follow-up.
Well,
2.3 million.
Is that
I made that up?
Many on this is genius. One Twitter user wrote, describing her as a smart woman.
You're a smart woman.
There's no upside for the world knowing her business. My business is my business.
Where is that from?
That was from last. That was from 2 weeks ago.
That was from your 30-year-old
version. Oh, that's right. Virgin, my business. Oh, yeah. What's your business about? My business is my business.
a third.
What'd you say?
2.3 million.
2.8. That's pretty good.
I think I could find N. Gray out of 2.8
million. That's pretty good. Really good.
A third tweeter.
A third twat added,
I love how the others are trying to keep a straight face. That she's talking about the others in the photo.
Yeah.
Ms. Gray is reportedly planning to invest in a community center after clearing her debts. She told the Gleaner newspaper, I'm elated because I was drowning in debt. Like many of us out there. I started buying Super Lotto in January. Now I've won. I want to clear my debt, invest, and I want to do some traveling. She was reported saying, I would like to construct a community center for the youths in my community so they can engage in something productive, somewhere where they can do information technology. So I guess IT is getting big in Jamaica.
Nice.
I was thinking they were going to start a pot farm for all the kids.
Oh, that's fucked.
Racist.
Or maybe they start another bobsledding team.
Oh.
They still have one.
They do, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
They do.
I fucking love that. Cool runnings, man.
They're like the only Caribbean with a bobsledding team.
Fuck it. Love that story.
Beautiful.
So yeah, but I thought that was interesting that they can do that because I always thought if I won the lottery, I would not want to do the photo. And you have to clear your money. You have to be like, this is me.
Yeah.
come to my house and ask for money.
Well, that's why they say winning the lottery actually ruins a lot of people's lives, because then everyone turns
There's
to
a
that.
Show about that.
Yeah.
So why don't, like, they should. They should allow you to be anonymous. You win the lottery, you should be anonymous. Like,
The only thing I can think of is if you say anonymous, then they can say that, oh, yeah, we paid Mr. Anonymous. Mm-hmm. But that's nobody can track where the money came from, you know? And every money's public records.
There would probably still be some sort of, like, secure, you know, like, the tax information goes to the government. It's just you're not public.
Yeah, but that's actually public records. You can look up...
still, but it's not like
what people I'm make, and you have to tell the government what you have,
right? But I'm not broadcasting that, like, I've made this kind of money.
But like we like, said, like, that's
yeah,
the marketing.
Looks into me, that's fine. But
if you want to win, if you want to win that kind of big chunk of change, like that's part of the marketing campaign.
Exactly. Yeah,
is that that's you have to show
part of some bullshit terms and agreement that
no, it is. But that's what I thought this was an interesting article, because I thought that was kind of just how it was everywhere that there's a lottery, but apparently in Jamaica they're fine with it.
Well, yeah, I mean they're. Smarter to not, you know, they have all the information, but just not put their face out there, you know?
Yeah.
Cool. Get $1 million, like, facial.
What are you getting?
Surgery. No, you have no money.
Go in there with, like, yeah, like a wig and, like, a fake mustache and glasses.
Take the photo. A low-key disguise.
Yeah. I would totally do that.
Looking like an 80s pedophile. That's what I would do. I would do something weird like that where it's still technically me, but it's not. Yeah. This is delicious coffee, Rob.
Yeah, very good.
Who made this?
I did.
Oh.
You made the brew of the beans?
Yes. I have a bean farm in my backyard. No, it is Folger's Finest.
Folger's Finest? Is that like an upscale brand of theirs? Or like...
No, it's just me adding on. It's Folger's.
Folger. I thought maybe they have like a gold-rimmed Folger's container.
I mean, they have different flavors. You know, dark roast or Colombian blend or anything like that.
Ah, Folger's.
Oh, he gave me a mug that says Hangover Helper. God bless you.
Bless your heart.
Yeah, I actually got that mug from my mother.
So Lucas just used the term bless your heart. Another useless fact, I know. That is not a blessing. That's saying like you're ignorant.
I've been saying that more and more since he told me.
Bless your heart.
That's like a southern way of saying like, oh, you're ignorant. Oh, bless your heart. You don't know anything.
Yeah, like you mean well, but you just don't know how to get better.
Right, right.
Cool. Well, speaking of Folgers and shit, I got a weekly shit article for you guys. This one's from the BBC, and it's called Serial Poopers.
Big black cocks. I love that.
Big black cock. Serial Poopers, what makes people poo in public places?
BBC's really gone downhill.
I know. It's publicly funded, so in the US, probably even worse. Mm. In parts of the world blessed with effective modern sanitation, it's widely understood that poop belongs inside of a person or a toilet. That's how the article starts.
It belongs there.
But if you follow the news or this podcast, you might have noticed an abundance of stories about serial poopers, people who bizarrely defecate in public, leaving shock and turds in their wake.
I thought we were going to get off poop articles.
I know. I just had to swoop
it
back in.
Just couldn't do it.
And then we have the next transition.
It's called relevant shit. Come on.
That's true.
The latest case
involves... I'll poop all the time.
The latest case involves a businessman from Brisbane, Australia, who's been charged with creating a public nuisance after reportedly following the same private path up to 30 times. That was the guy that I showed you, the picture of the guy that I showed you. He was caught in public pooping, and somebody snapped a shot of him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that looked like
it was
very
a genuine
picture.
Reaction. He looked super calm, but he was pooping.
Like, hey there. He looked like a dog pooping on the side of the road, you know? Like,
yeah.
If anybody, you guys should go Google the photo. What's his name?
Just Google Brisbane, Australia pooping.
There you
go. I guarantee you'll be the first image.
So the photo is him just kind of like nonchalantly looking at the camera while he's pooping. Very much like you would see a dog pooping on the side of the road as you're driving by and they kind of look at you.
He was some high-level businessman. He quit his job.
You need to be calm to be able to get
That's
to that
right,
level.
Yeah. 30 times he pooped like on this path that he walked. And by like people's houses, because this one was right in front of somebody's house.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty messed up. Are tales like this down to unfortunate medical conditions, or is public pooping an extreme act of rebellion? We asked the psychologist of anger management. Well, we didn't, but BBC did.
And Jack Nicholson?
And I imagine we... I like the fact that us and BBC are on the same wavelength as far as article
selections. Maybe they're listening.
I think so. Yeah, I think that's what's going on. Soft or hard? Professor Mike Berry, a clinical forensic that's the name of this section. Professor Mike Berry, a clinical forensic psychologist at Birmingham City University, says rage, anxiety, a desire to send a message, alcohol, or illness could all be responsible. It's interesting, he says. I worked on cases where burglars have crapped in the house, and I always ask the police whether it's soft or hard. They look at me like I'm absolutely mad, and I say if it's soft, then somebody who's anxious. So you get a kid who craps in the bed, and if it's really hard stool, then it's indication of somebody who's angry and bitter about what they're doing.
Jesus.
Oh my God.
So I'm either always anxious or angry.
There's two spectrums.
What's the perfect poop? Like kind of tough with a little moisture?
This guy's a psychopath because he's completely calm during this public pooping episode.
He's a sociopathic pooper?
Yeah, exactly. There you go. You invented a new category in the pooping. Another key question is, does the culprit do it repeatedly in the same place? If it's regular, it becomes a message to somebody or some people, says Professor Berry. Obviously, there are unfortunate situations in which someone with an upset stomach or a more serious bowel condition might be unable to make the toilet in time. But looking purely at those who do it deliberately, we can divide the cases into two segments. A furious Canadian woman arrested last month appears to fall into the first category. She was caught on camera defecating on the floor of Tim Hortons coffee house in British Columbia, then flinging the result at the staff. It was later reported that they had refused to let her use the toilet. In the second category, that of repeat offenders, we find examples like the Colorado jogger, dubbed the Mad Pooper, who sparked a police hunt last year after defecating outside a family's home for weeks on end. While the experts won't comment on individual cases, they agree that serial poopers often trying to stick two fingers up to the world.
I thought you were going to say something else.
Me too. When I was reading it, my mind was brewing. Yeah, usually, it's a statement like, life is shit, so stand in it. That's a quote from in here.
I like that. I'm going to get that tattooed. Tramp stamp, right?
I mean, somebody who defecates in public has mental health issues. It's simple as that. If you're socialized, that's the last thing that you do. Mr. Fisher notes that people who defecate in public may have scatological tendencies or fascination with their own poo. I guess that's a medical term for that. I can't believe there's a medical term for that. That's crazy. I remember being on a workshop many years ago when a French bloke told us how when he was a kid, he would actually shit in a bath and smear feces all over himself. This is a classic example of scatology.
Yeah, scatology is the study and analysis of feces as for diagnostic purposes.
Oh, wow. That's great. Classic example.
Or a preoccupation with feces and filth.
Oh, nice. And as an adult, he's smearing shit all over himself, but he's still... Oh, as an adult, he's not smearing shit all over himself, but he's still fascinated with his own poop. The American Council on Science and Health says public pooping could also point to an elimination disorder, a kind of condition where urine and feces are passed in places other than the toilet. The behavior may or may not be within individual's control. Every so often, a misplaced turd might be just... work of someone who's halfway home from the pub, says Professor Berry. The guy gets caught short. He's learned that he can go and crap on lawn number three because there's nobody there, but if he goes to poop on lawn number 33, it sets off an alarm and he runs away. This Professor Berry's like really into like describing the poop scenarios.
He's a scatologist.
Yeah. Misbehavior with feces violates one of society's last taboos. If you doubt that, just look at the way poo is deployed in prison protests, where it functions as a primary weapon.
What?
Yeah, you never heard of that?
Poo in prison?
Yeah. They
poo on a stick?
Yeah, they take poop and they throw it at people. And
oh, yeah, they like to throw it at the guards.
Yeah,
and
then
like
they smear they smear poop all over their...
I guess it's kind of like, what was that scene from Silence of the Lambs when he throws the jizz at her?
Oh, I didn't remember that.
Yeah, when she's down there talking to Hannibal, but there's like that other psycho next to Hannibal, and as she's walking out, he's like, "Hey, Doc," and like flings his cum at her because he was jerking off to her. No, okay.
Well, no matter how powerless you might be, there's always poop at hand.
We have the famous cases in the 70s where IRA men used to wipe the walls with their feces as protest, notes Professor Barry, who's really into poop. When it comes to stopping public defecators, the experts warn there's no single solution, and shaming them is definitely not the answer.
Well, I'm going to look at every random poop I find on my lawn differently now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really gross.
But there, it feels like, I don't know if it's because we've been doing this podcast, but it feels like there's a ton of public pooping in the news.
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, maybe because of the elections.
Well, now I feel bad. We got to shut this down.
Yeah.
I don't feel like we're causing it.
I'm sure we are.
Yeah.
That's a condition, too, that it's kind of like when you buy a car and all of a sudden you see that car everywhere.
Sure.
You feel that way because you talk about poop, that mm-hmm. now you see poop everywhere.
Yeah, that's all I can think about. All day, poop, poop, poop. I go to the bathroom, boom, boom, boom.
But who doesn't have a little fascination with their poop? I mean, I always look at my poops.
Not me.
No.
No, you don't. You don't
I mean, I don't like examine
maybe,
it.
Maybe you're like one of them, you know?
You know?
You don't look at your poops? No. You just like flush and walk away?
I just flush them if I don't have to look at it.
I examine it. I like, because I
see it out of the corner of my eye when I'm tossing paper in there.
I take a good look. I gauge my health off of that.
It's kind of gross. I see enough of my dog's poop, and there's a lot of dogs that poop all over the
But I use it as like a gauge for my health.
That's great.
If it comes out wet, now I know I'm anxious.
And if it comes usually, out hard, like, you can feel it. Like, you know, you have you're a doing really rough one. You're like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
But I still like this. Sometimes I'm proud of them.
Oh, my God.
No? Yeah. All right.
So, I mean, not to keep talking about poop, but
I have mild scatology.
We have to do this follow-up because it just popped up, and since we're talking about so much poop. The poop train that was carrying human waste finally cleared after months of squatting in Alabama town of Parrish.
Holy shit, train that's still there?
It was.
That was from episode 2, so that was, what, like 7 weeks ago?
At least.
Wow, that's a lot of poop.
So if you haven't listened to episode 2 titled Poop Train, I recommend episode 2 Poop Train.
It starts off, Alabama's poop train is no longer raising a stink.
Now it's 2 miles south.
The mayor of the tiny town of Parrish posted Wednesday on Facebook that train cars carrying human waste from New York City were finally emptied and cleared and should be removed soon. The cars were sitting idle for more than 2 months after a neighboring county went to court to block the train's passage.
How did they do that?
Parrish was protest? Like, send it to the next county over.
They
just put a couch on the train tracks.
First there's protesters that come out and then they're like, oh, fuck this. It smells like shit.
The residents of Northwest Birmingham gained notoriety. I don't know if I said that right. And became the butt of several jokes after complaining that the smell from the train was making the outdoors unbearable, sending the odor of excrement wafting whichever way in the wind was blowing. Oh,
it's all New York poop, too. So
can't come out here and barbecue. Okay.
Number one complaint.
Yeah, I mean, I know the flies were getting into the house. It was tracking that. Again, this was about 10 million pounds of human waste that were sitting on a train car from waste management facilities in New York, blah, blah, blah. So it goes on, but it was really bad. And finally, after 2 months, it has been cleared.
That's hooray. Awesome.
Congrats.
And there is new laws that they're trying to, by 2030, mm-hmm. New York is going to set a goal of sending zero waste to landfills in other states.
What are they going to do with it?
Yeah.
Poo be gone?
Vaporize,
that's what it was.
Don't know, but
great movie.
They have 12 years to figure it out.
Yeah. That is a great movie.
Yeah. Underrated.
You seen Envy?
Yeah. Underrated.
Underrated. Totally got just like nobody went and saw it in theaters. Yeah. And
I didn't
super
even
good.
See it in theaters.
Yeah, I didn't either. I had a VHS of it lying around randomly. I don't know.
It was like one of the last VHS.
I randomly found it and watched it and it was great. Yeah. Jack Black, Ben Stiller, great, great comedy duo.
Was it Birmingham, Alabama, right?
The town was Parrish, but it's part of, it's just outside of Birmingham.
Okay, gotcha. Well, if you're from Parrish, you know, write us and let us know what the smell was like and how you feel about it. So.
And are you enjoying your barbecue now?
Yes.
Yes.
And do you barbecue?
Yes.
And what are your life goals?
And what are you wearing?
Yeah. Oh, that's just for Rob.
Right. Now, to take a step pre-poop, okay. I got a nice short
like
little that. Article.
You're going backwards.
Yes.
All right.
All right. Before you poop, mm-hmm. It's about the fajita heist.
Oh, okay.
What?
Oh, yeah. I heard about this. Okay.
The fajita heist?
Yes, yes, yes.
A Texas man was sentenced to 50 years in jail for stealing $1.2 million worth of food. Fajita food.
Mm-hmm. At once?
Fajitas.
Over the course of a couple years.
I was going to say, that's a lot of fajitas.
I know, right?
Throw one kick-ass party.
Gilberto Escamilla had stolen more than $1.2 million worth of fajitas over the course of approximately 9 years. Sorry.
Wow. That's quite an operation.
He pleads guilty to stealing all this. Most businesses
don't last that long.
No, he was successful.
But sentenced to 50 years. Like, you get less for
murder.
That's
9 years, bro. Like, that's a lot of fajitas. How many fajitas do you think that is, like...
I don't know, but, like, on the wholesale scale, that's got to be cheap as hell.
Right. $9 million fajitas?
Well, yeah, what price? Are they giving us wholesale pricing, or are they giving us...
I'm sure it was wholesale pricing.
Probably, yeah.
Giving us lunch lady pricing?
Yeah, so, I mean, you take that out to retail, that could be...
Let's say it's $2 per heat. Per fajitas.
Mm-hmm.
That's 18 million. That's a lot of money.
No, it was 1.2 million over the course of 9 years.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know why.
$2 for you, so that's $600,000 worth of fajitas.
Yeah.
Or 600,000 fajitas.
Well, either way, basically.
3 fajitas a day.
He was buying them and placing orders with county funds and then selling them for profit
under his own accord. Oh, so he worked for the county then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm.
This is my favorite part.
God, you got to be fucking pissed if you were living in that county. Your money's going towards fajitas.
Mm-hmm. And then into his pocket. But after sentencing of 50 years, he was also slapped with a maximum fine of $10,000.
Oh, okay.
Wait. On top of the $1,251,578.72.
How's he going to pay that
back? He was ordered to pay back for the cost of the fajitas.
How's he going
to
pay that back if he's got in prison? I think they make like 10 cents an hour doing that.
But that's my favorite part. Yes. How are you going to pay that back?
Maybe he invested it. Maybe the fajita money funded Bitcoin or something. And he's like,
but like, pay back everything you stole, which you know nobody's like sitting on this pile of cash. And then put a big fine on top of that as he's in jail for presumably the rest of his life.
Yeah, correction. Nobody that's stealing fajitas is sitting on that pile of cash. Yeah.
I think the important thing that you learn from this is that you can make money with anything, kids.
Yes. So
if you
do
see,
it legally.
For 9 years, you'll be good.
When you see that fajita meat, you got to think dollars and cents. It can happen.
Do it legally. Pay the taxes. It's a lot less than paying the ultimate price.
Well, to get a start, you know, to get a head start, you might want to start.
Oh, no, but I get it. I see my boss pay the taxes on our wine sales. It's insanity. And then they turn around and say, we're broke. Screw that.
Oh, the government?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, yeah, no.
No, misplacing fucking fajitas.
I know, man.
That's crazy.
Well,
it's my fajita heist.
Let's go to the softer side of food here.
Okay.
we're going soft backwards. Spectrum of poop.
I know all the carnivores love those fajitas, but Google has now made its salad emoji suitable for vegans.
What?
That's the article, yeah. So this is also from Sky News, my new favorite article
distributor. Mine's the Oregonian.
This one had no author. I don't know if the author was too shy to put their name down.
Oh, yeah. Same with the BBC one. I noticed this might be a new trend. Anonymous authors.
Yeah, you can, but you lottery, you got to show. Yeah. You can write something, but anyway, so yeah, the article is Google has made its salad emoji suitable for vegans. The emoji has been redesigned to create an image more faithful to the Unicode's description, according to Google's UX manager. So I can't really show you, but before, the salad emoji had an egg in it. Now it does not.
Oh, because like what? Because
eggs aren't vegan.
Oh, that's
so Google's removed the egg from its salad emoji in order to make it more inclusive for vegans. Jennifer Daniel, who works as a user experience manager for Google, announced the change on Twitter.
All the Slavs are probably super pissed because of that egg salad. Oh, I love eggs and you know salad. What I'm talking about, though? Like the one with like a ton of mayonnaise and just eggs and stuff and like peas and...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I forgot what that's called.
She tweeted that it was a big talk about inclusion and diversity at Google and cited the redesigned emoji was an indication. If you need any evidence of Google making this priority, may I direct your attention to the salad emoji. We've removed the egg in Android P Beta 2, making this a more inclusive vegan salad.
Hmm. Jesus Christ, I can't believe this is article worthy.
For me it is.
No, I know it is for us, absolutely. But I'm just saying for
Sky.
Yeah,
who actually wrote this or made a stink about it?
Emojis are important, man. I think in next
future, vegan friendly emoji, like
hey, we're only about 30 years.
I would get if it was a restaurant and they're like, hey, we can now serve vegan like food. Like, sure, but a freaking emoji. Like,
hey, I think in 30 years, we're strictly going to communicate through emojis. So these are important moments. These are decisive moments.
Not until but they like, add like really, a hard dick
like,
emoji.
Like, if you're a vegan, you're going to get upset. Like, there's an egg in my vegan emoji. Like, Jesus Christ.
You bring up a great point.
Like, who would that get mad? Like,
I bet
like, I'm a vegetarian. I'm upset that they put a pig in my emoji selection. Who cares? Then don't use it.
The point is they want everybody to feel comfortable using.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure some guy sent his girlfriend a little, like, I'm making dinner. Come over for salad. And he used the emoji and she saw egg in it. And that guy didn't get a blowjob that night. So.
Oh, my God.
The tweet was criticized by a number of Twitter users, with some arguing over whether eggs were vegan or not. Sky News confirms that eggs are produced from animals and they are not vegan. Thanks, Sky News, for clarifying that. Ms. Daniel responded to the controversy by saying, hello, carnivores, vegans, and everyone in between. Just want to clarify that the goal of salad emoji redesign was to create an image more faithful to Unicode's description, a bowl of healthy salad containing lettuce, tomato, and other salad items such as cucumber. Bon appetit.
Cucumbers look too much like dicks. Get them out of there.
Yeah, that offends all the lesbians out there.
I'm pretty sure. No, I'm not going to go there. The move comes as the Unicode Consortium, which chooses and creates new
What's
emojis, launched 157 new icons this week. A consortium is like a group. It's like not an L.
Skynet would use that.
Yeah, a consortium. It's just a fancy
it's a consortium
word for
of fucking dick whackers.
I hear consortium. I imagine like a auditorium filled with like people wearing the same robe discussing things.
Okay.
I'm sure that's not what it is, but that's what I imagine.
Let's discuss this poop article.
Among them, this one I thought was important. This was more important to me than the salad. Mm-hmm. Among them will be ginger-haired people, which have not been available to users so far, along with bald-headed and curly-haired people. Mm-hmm. So the gingers, the bald, and the curlies can now faithfully emoji themselves.
You should be able to pick an emoji profile. So if you're like, let's say you're, you know, an Asian man, all your emojis are, you know,
all Asian. I'm sure you probably could.
That's racist. That's what somebody would say.
Why is that racist?
Why can't I be a white person and have an Asian emoji?
You can.
Like, no, but that's
cultural appropriation.
Oh, my God.
Now, if you make them verify through, like, images of yourself. Like,
you can only use the Asian emojis if you're Asian. But what if you want
to just
talk about...
You have to pass a math test.
What if you want to talk about Asian
people are too sensitive? Do you see how many emojis there are, and they're still like going to get offended about it? Like, they're little people. Like, okay.
Oh, great!
I just offended
the
little people.
Are they still little people? Is that
no,
they
they're not.
Themselves?
I don't know.
Little people? Are they still little?
Well, like
people?
They used to be midgets and dwarves. Now they're little.
Oh,
people.
I thought you were talking about Asians.
No.
Wow, you guys are racist.
No.
Asian still little people.
Now you just offended them. We just offended everybody.
Oh, fuck.
And
everybody.
Alabama.
I don't care.
All right. What else Sky Newt got? What else does Sky Newt have? Sky Newt.
Google's announcement also extended to include these icons. Other new emojis include a superhero, a hot and a cold face, a partying face. What is a partying face? Just your face in cocaine.
Yeah.
A woozy face, a bagel. For all you Jewish listeners.
Are there locks?
Is that racist? Locks? Are there locks on it? I want a Jewish bagel.
I want them bagels and locks. Well,
the Scandinavians like locks too, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, shit.
Oh, we're all people, you fucks. Just be. Toilet roll. That's an important one. You can use that with the poop emoji for some funny stories.
Yeah, I like that.
A cupcake. A test tube. I'm not sure who's using that. For all you chemists out there.
I'm making some meth in my lab. Test tube emoji.
And a DNA one, which I'm assuming is the, what do they call it? The helio...
Helix?
Helix.
Yes. I'm looking through my
that
emojis.
Up. That's totally right. Not right.
I see a red circle and a blue circle,
it hasn't hit
but I don't see
yet.
A green
they
circle.
They update once a year.
I don't see a green circle. I'm going to be offended.
Well, because I'm blue. If I was green, I would die.
Uh-oh.
I would die if I was green.
That's weird.
Oh, there's also... Oh, you know what didn't make the list?
Ooh.
Oh, the bloody syringe? Look. It's in a bloody syringe.
Well, you're doing
a giant
blood.
Pill.
And then the party face.
You want a party tonight? Oh, and then a squirt gun with a hammer and a knife and a coffin.
Rob's life story there.
My God.
More importantly, what did not make the list was a flamingo and a white heart.
Well, a white heart, you wouldn't be able to see on the white background.
What's the deal with a white heart? That makes sense, Rob. That's a great point.
It doesn't say why they didn't just make
There's a white mouse.
Oh.
Look, I didn't know, like a computer mouse, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it doesn't say why they didn't make it. It just says they were nominated and didn't make it. Hmm. No, that's the article.
Beautiful.
Like a white square.
So personally, I unfriend people who message me with emojis anyway.
I use emojis. Half the time only because they pop up. Like it's in that like autofill thing, so it just like pops up and you're like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it helps with making a conversation shorter, but...
Well, like when I say pizza and then it gives me a picture of a pizza just in case you couldn't read that I said pizza. I'll give you both.
That defeats the purpose of making it shorter because then you have to type the word pizza and you're like, oh, instead of writing the actual word pizza, which I already wrote, I'm going to use this emoji instead.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a good point.
Like, pizza.
And you have 10 million emojis, you're going to scroll through it to...
So when you look at human history, we started with like drawing symbols on walls, and then we...
Went to paper.
Then we went to language. No, stones. Whatever. And then we went to language, and then we developed written word, and then we had like complex languages.
What was the first one?
Well, like human history, we started as cavemen writing symbols on walls.
Okay.
Then we went to like language, and then we had beautiful languages like Latin and...
Arabic
and Anglo-Saxon and Gaelic. Then we watered those down. Oh, then we had beautiful like written word and stories, and then we watered it all down with the English, and now we're back to drawing symbols.
Wow, that's crazy. All right, I'm gonna get us off this topic. I got an article that's not very interesting, but I just want Rob to read a poem. I saw a poem in this one.
This will be the final finale of this episode.
All right. Unless you guys got something else.
No.
Nah, we're at 40 minutes.
Okay.
Let's hit this.
U.S. kindergartens now teaching nursery rhymes to prep kids for school shooters. Why are you so excited about this?
Because I was reading the poem and I'm like, where did this stem from? Now it makes sense.
A U.S. mother is...
I'm excited. I don't know what you're talking about.
A U.S. mother has shared... a confronting image from her daughter's prospective kindergarten classroom showing the indication for a lockdown drill put to the tune of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. That's so sad.
It is. I'm depressed.
Georgie Cohen, a Boston creative director, shared the image on Twitter this morning. It showed a multicolored lyric poster outlining the drill protocol, and the poem goes...
This is to Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
Yes, make sure you got that in your background.
I had my own.
Well, if you want to do a rap battle,
do Twinkle, Twinkle, and then maybe do your own. And
it goes, lock down, lock down, lock the door, shut the lights off, say no more, go behind the desk and hide, wait until it's safe inside, lock down, lock down, it's all done. Now it's time to have some fun.
Holy shit. Really? They ended that with fun. Have some fun.
Well, I mean, you're trying to not scare the kids, so I get that.
Oh, okay. I guess.
In a following message, Cohen said her child was excited about the drill as it appeared as if it was a game. The post has drawn considerable amount of attention from those saddened by the apparent necessity for teaching toddlers how to navigate a potential school shooting.
Rob, what would you do had you not known this?
Yeah. Well, Austin now, came now home I got
and he's
twinkles.
Going, lock down, shut the door.
I had one. I wish I would have said it before I heard Twinkle.
Oh, you had your own lockdown.
Well, like I had my own melody, just reading it.
Okay, well, we can put some Nas on. We can put some like, beats in the background.
Well, are we trying to go kid-friendly or are we going to go gangster?
Just do it your style, man. Do what feels right.
The kid-friendly was like, lock down, lock the door. Shut the lights off and say no more. Go behind the desk and hide. Wait until it's safe inside. Lock down, it's all done. Now it's time to have some fun.
Let me try this. I want to try flow on this. I'm going to do this a little more.
Well, that was the kid version.
Lockdown, lockdown, lock the door. Shut the lights off and say no more. Oh, go Jesus. Behind the desk, hide. Wait until safe inside. Lockdown, lockdown, it's all done. Now it's time to have some fun. Mic drop.
Can I change the...
Do it, man. Do it how you want.
I'm going to change the last line. Lockdown, lockdown, it's all done. Maybe not. Shit, let's run.
And this has been Relevant Shit.
Well, no, but seriously, what do you guys...
This is terrible, but I mean, think about...
Like, are you outraged at this as a parent?
A little bit. Like, I'm nervous to send him to school, you know?
No, sure, you're outraged at but what's I get going it. On, but I get are you it. Outraged with no, them doing
this is
that?
The no. best... This has got to be the best way you can do this, mm-hmm. you know? You make a game out of it. Every kid thinks everything is a game, and you can't, like, freak him out and say, oh my God, somebody's running around with a gun, hide, like, whatever. You do make a game out of it, sure. you know? I mean, anything from hide from a terrible situation to try and get your shoes on, you know?
This kind of makes me think of the, in like the 60s when they would have kids get under the desk for nuclear
war.
Yeah.
You, because the desk is going to stop a nuclear bomb.
Right. But still, you know.
But like every, like you go in the Middle East where there's war going on everywhere, you know, the kids are like, well, what do you do when a bomb blows up? Like you have plans, you know, just like your kids should know what to do if your house is on fire. You always have a plan, you have a drill, and.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably do the same thing if I was trying to teach my kids something, just give them some sort of jingle. I do it for myself. If I'm still learning something, I'll give myself a little jingle or something.
Memory cues, man. It's all about memory cues.
Lockdown. I wouldn't do that. But.
Lockdown, lockdown. Someone's in the house. I'm so scared and naked.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
What kind of jingles do you give yourself?
I don't know. I was trying to think of something I've done recently. But if I'm teaching myself something new, I will like do some sort of memory cue. Might not be a jingle, but it might be. I did one at work once. I think it was the Twinkle Twinkle or something like that. It was like, open soft pro low order.
I don't know. I know what you mean.
Additional
though, like...
invoices. I hate my life.
I have it's not a jingle, but a little catchphrase. It's check, check, double check, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You do something, you check your work. When you're all done, you check your work. And before you finalize it, you double check your work. And if you say it over and over again, you start to do it over and over again. And sometimes it's not until the third or fourth time you check it. Like,
it sounds like you have an obsessive compulsive disorder.
Make sure it's right.
Check, check, double check, 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 double check.
It's well, like a constantly spinning, like,
yeah, but record. It's always a check. And you know what? Sometimes you don't, like... I've checked my own work 3-4 times, and then finally I like caught a mistake or something.
Oh
like that,
yeah,
you know?
I hate that. You like write out an email, you read it over, you send it. It's an important email, so you look at the sent email, uh-huh. and you're like, oh no, yeah. I fucked up.
Yeah, that actually happened to me. Like it was autofill, and so I was trying to send it to Maria, but it's typed in Mark Maskey, which one's a coworker, one's a big client. And I'm like, here's the today's POs and BOLs and whatever. And then after I hit send, I said, oh, Mark, man, I'm like, sorry, Mark, that wasn't for you. You're not part of this company.
You know what? Outlook now, I think in most emails, you can retrieve that email before if you within like a minute or two.
Yeah,
if you
30 seconds.
I didn't even know. Yeah. And
undo.
Yeah.
You learn something new.
So how long before kids are like...
Have guns.
Back. Yeah. Like, lockdown, lockdown, go to the weapons chest. Hear the Glock that you like best.
There's no safety, just cock.
If a stranger comes. All right, I'm done.
Yeah.
All right, well, this has been Relevant Shit. So shoot us an email at relevantpoop@gmail.com. Tell us what you think if you want to hear your kids singing jingles on how to. Save themselves from...
Oh, can I just have a last poop comment?
Oh, of course.
It's not an article.
Yeah, get in there, man.
So we picked up Austin from daycare one of the days this week, and he was in a different set of shorts. And we're like, oh, well, what happened? You know, they always have change of clothes.
The paint.
Oh, no.
No. He goes, well, they were outside playing, and he had a ginormous poop, and it started flooding out of his pants.
Oh, no.
And he went down the slide, and he skid-marked everything. And they're like, we had to bring all the kids in so that we could clean up all the poop that your kid just left over the playground.
You're like, never mind. I don't want to know.
That's fucked.
Oh, jeez.
Follow us on Twitter, Relevant Shit.
Relevant pod. Poop, relevant shit pod.
Yeah, email us at relevantpoop@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at, was it?
Relevant shit pod.
And yeah, have a great rest of your week.
See you next week.
This has been Alex.
I'm Reb.
And I'm Shelby.
AKA Lucas. Peace out. So before we hit record, we were telling Rob about this video game called Town of Salem. And if you've played the game Werewolf, it's a party game where you and your friends each get a roll on a card. And then some of those rolls are like, you're like a bad guy and you're trying to hurt the rest of the town. And everybody's trying to figure out who's the bad guy. But there's other rolls that kind of throw wrenches in the like the communication. You know, you have the jester who's trying to kill himself. So he's trying to make you think he's the bad guy.
Rob's looking so confused. Basically, it's just a game between there's people that are in Mafia and there's people that are part of the town. And Mafia is trying to kill everybody that's part of the town, and the town is trying to kill everybody that's in Mafia. But you're not actually killing anybody. What you do, the process is you vote people off. So nobody knows who the other one is. And you say, okay, well, I think Rob is Mafia because he's shady as fuck. And then Rob's gonna be like, oh, I'm not Mafia, I'm the doctor, because I went to Alex and helped him. Mm-hmm. And then there's a vote, you know, and then you just vote each other off, and the
game basically switches between day and night. During day you can talk with all the townspeople. At night you act out your role. So if your role is doctor, you might visit somebody and heal them. If your role is lookout, you can visit somebody and spy on them. If your role is Mafia,
it's all through text.
And if your role is Mafia, then at night you talk with the other Mafia and kill somebody. So you're trying to figure out like who to kill. Like, oh, this guy's on to us, we better kill him.
Yeah.
And then the next morning it goes back to daylight and you can all talk again, but like somebody's dead. Mm. It's kind of a fun game. It was
I could see that, you know. It sounds like a Life and Survivor and who done it kind of thing.
Yeah, I like that.
It's kind of like Clue.
That's what I was thinking.
Clue mixed with, I don't know about Life, but...
Well, like everyone has a role.
Yeah.
You do your...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, silly.
Regardless, if you want to play with us, hit us up at relevantpoop@gmail.com.
we'll play some Town of Salem with you.
And we'll make Rob play too, because we'll have a listener playing, so...
Okay.